Welcome. We had another one of our shortest closed session meetings in the history since I've been here. So anyways, with that, Kyle's going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and my other esteemed person on the stage here is going to do our prayer, Mr. Don.
Come on, join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of prayer. Gracious Lord, we seek your guidance as the panel, staff, and public meet to ponder issues related to life-sustaining water. Your blessing and comfort are needed in the Trona earthquake zone, where residents are without running water. Also, blessings and thanks to the humanitarian work of the American Cancer Society, who are with us tonight. In your name, amen.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and open the meeting. And Madam Secretary, would you take a roll call, please?
Director Don Olinger?
Here.
Just a reminder, President Taylor, Greg Young noticed the board last week that, or at our last meeting, that he would not be here tonight.
Who did?
Director Greg Young.
Oh, okay.
And Dr. Clifford Young. Vice President Kyle Crowther.
Present.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor.
Here. We have a quorum, so we can proceed. Also, just a note to make sure it's in the minutes. Since Greg notified us that he would miss this meeting, he's excused. Dr. Clifford Young has made no notification. He, therefore, is not excused by this board. That's all. All right. I move that we adopt the agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Madam Secretary, roll, please.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. All right, we have several presentations tonight. Thank you for moving that. We have several presentations tonight. We have one from the American Cancer Society. We also have one from Customer Service Improvements and Goals Presentation and Water Reliability Improvement Program Update. We'll start with the American Cancer Society, please. Who's the representative?
Good evening, President Taylor. I'd like to go ahead and introduce, and the board, apologize. I'd like to go ahead and introduce Clarissa Morales and Mercy Campos with the American Cancer Society.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
My dad had cancer and was treated at Loma Linda, and he's still in remission, so this is a personal thing for me.
Awesome.
And I also know that a friend of mine, his wife has cancer too, so.
I'm
a big deal.
I'm an almost 7-year breast cancer survivor.
Oh, good.
Thank you. We're here to, first of all, thank you for your great donation that the Water District gave our Relay for Life that was held in May. We are now at a total of over 93,000. Our goal was 100,000, but we had an issue with weather. The day of our relay. We're a 24-hour relay, but unfortunately, it started to rain on us. And there was also a threat of lightning and thunder. So since we're very close to the mountains where we have our venue, we had to shut down right after our Luminaria ceremony. So that kind of little cut into our profits. But we're happy with the over 93,000.
Fantastic.
And so we're here today to present you with our plaque, thanking the Water District for your generous donation of $2,500. And we hope that we can continue to count on you for our following years. For us, it's a great achievement to be able to have our Relay for Life as a survivor. That is our goal, that during relay, the 24 hours that we're there, we do honor our survivors and caregivers. The caregivers are also a very integral part of our cure, because without them, we wouldn't be able to get through all the appointments and medications and radiations and chemotherapies that we have to go through. So again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we appreciate everything that you guys did for us.
Thank you. All right, we want to do a picture?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, step to the front of the dais, do a picture. Clarence, can you have your staff step up in two? All right, moving right along to the next presentation, customer service improvement. Clarence, are you on this one? Your mic.
Yes, thank you. Yes, for customer service improvement, Nadia Lukey.
Good evening, President Dr. Taylor, directors. I'm just going to adjust here. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I wanted to show you what I've been working on since I've been here as I pass the torch for customer service over to Jeremiah. As you know, when I first started, I was tasked with observing and assessing the customer service department, and I did that. I created a report, and that's been included in the assessment document that Dave Commons has produced. Based on my observations and findings within that report, I created a strategic plan for customer service, and that plan encompasses our core values, and I've been using that plan to start addressing deficiencies. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done in customer service, admittedly, but change doesn't come all that easy, and so I've tried to address deficiencies and implement some improvements slowly over time, just with the ultimate goal of continuous improvement. So I did some slides just to kind of show you where we're at as I close things out. Of course, I'm 100% support for Jeremiah, and I'll help him close out the last few projects that I'm kind of handing over. So Albert's gonna navigate for me. Thank you, Albert. Of course, as I mentioned, I came up with a strategic plan just for the customer service department, and trying to always keep in mind our mission and our vision, providing customers with safe, high quality water at a reasonable rate. And then of course, our vision of being a model in the water industry, fiscally responsible conservation, and our commitment to customers and our community, of course. I looked at our core values. They're innovation, customer service, employee development, integrity, transparency, accountability, and of course environmental stewardship. And I'm go ahead and move on to the next slide. In our strategic initiatives, there you'll see, tried to encompass as many of those values as I could. So the first is, of course, to provide exceptional customer service, and that addresses value number two, exceptional customer service, always our first priority. And then the second strategic initiative is to engage with customers to get their feedback on our service and how they're perceiving us, and use metrics to actually identify deficiencies and implement or adjust maybe our training program so that we can begin to address those. And that addresses our core value number four, integrity, accountability, transparency. And then the last strategic initiative, of course, is to promote employee development and professional growth. Our value number three, employee development. Of course, as we develop and invest in our employees, they're more successful, and the district obviously is more successful as a result. So for our first initiative of providing exceptional customer service, you'll see up there our tactical plan. First, we did some training. We had a training seminar. We actually invited a speaker, and then we also implemented some online training. And actually, that online training is incorporated into everybody's performance evaluation in the form of goals, so that everybody gets a certain amount of training as the year goes on, and there's different programs. So I'm excited about that program. Both of those are already completed and ongoing. Then we created basically a one-stop shop. So now customer service staff is skilled at managing the reception area up front, where they can direct customers that maybe need other services like engineering, as well as fielding conservation matters. Customer service representatives are now trained to perform water audits and process rebates. They can answer questions and help customers troubleshoot high consumption, anything related to conservation. That's completed. We did quite a few training programs there. Next, I created some KPIs and some ideas for performance reporting, and I'm going to come back to that in just a few minutes and give you a little bit more detail. Of course, as you know, we implemented an additional payment option, Pay Near Me. That's already complete. And created a standard operating procedure manual, which calibrates kind of how we do things and helps us train our new hires so that everybody's on the same page and we're providing the best customer service possible. Last, the one thing on this list that's not completed yet is the implementation of call recording for our customer service phone queue. And that's in process, and we expect to be fully implemented by this fall. Thank you. So I mentioned KPIs, and that's basically we don't know if we're successful unless we can measure our success and measure what we're doing. So I created these metrics so that we can actually start measuring what we're doing. And these that I chose are basic metrics that most call centers use. Our call center is very small, so I think these are adequate. Just for instance, service level, our goal is that 80% of all calls answered are in 20 seconds or less. And we can use these metrics to gauge how we're doing. I'm not gonna go through and read them all. You all have a copy. I'm happy to answer any questions, but all of those goals you see there are industry standard. And of course, we're always gonna try to either meet or exceed those goals. And then I did give you also the method that we're gonna use to evaluate. You'll see up there CSAT, or customer satisfaction. I probably should have spelled it out. That's a really important one. And the method of evaluation, of course, goes back to our strategic initiative, right, of talking to customers and engaging with them, getting their feedback. And in order to do that, I've put a customer survey box in the lobby, as well as implemented a hotline for customers to call in and offer feedback. And it's third-party hosted. And then also, we are going to put post-call surveys on our customer queue, and that'll be implemented right along with that call recording sometime this fall. Thank you. Initiative number two, of course, is engaging with those customers to get feedback and creating those reports on metrics to gauge how we're doing. Customer satisfaction surveys, that's already implemented in there. A feedback hotline, that's already implemented in there. And then, as I said earlier, we're going to implement those post-call surveys so that once customers call into the queue, they'll be given an option to participate in a survey and give some very simple feedback, maybe one or two questions. We've actually found a way, Albert has found a way to do that at very little cost to the district. So I'm excited about that. Like I said, that'll go live this fall. That is just a picture of the sign we put up in the lobby, and that's our hotline. So customers can call in and talk to a third-party hosted person that will take their suggestion or their compliment or their complaint and relay that information directly to upper management. And there's just a picture of our lobby. Of course, this is a temporary location. This is in the trailer. You can see the survey box down there and then the sign up on the wall. Obviously, both of those things are easily moved. So when we have our new customer service foyer, we'll easily be able to move those over so that they can be in our new lobby. Last initiative, number three, promoting employee development and professional growth. And as you can see, several representatives have obtained certifications of some sort. That QUEL certification is really cool, and that's qualified water efficient landscaping, and that's what enables them to go out and do water audits so that we don't have to outsource that, and we can really get in there and help customers figure out what's going on if they have consumption issues. We've gotten some distribution operator certs, some treatment operator certs, and then some water use efficiency certifications. And I'm hoping that the customer service staff moves forward with getting these. They've done a really great job. Implementation of a cross-functional knowledge and mentoring program. That is something I created as a goal in the supervisor's performance evaluation. And that's just basically where he goes and chooses a department in the district that he might be interested in, and so he can learn other areas of water. And it can either just be fun or help him be more effective in his job, or maybe someday he wants to try performing a different role here at the district. And I'd like to see everybody doing that at some point. And then last, a coaching program, again another performance evaluation goal, so that staff is talking to supervisor and they're very, very clear about what the expectations are, how they can meet those, and that'll obviously help them to grow and be successful as well in their own careers. So last, of course, I gave you all a copy of some reports that were created in a different role. There's a monthly customer service report, a revenue report. These are very, very detailed, and I'm not at all suggesting we do something this big. However, I just wanted to let you see, give you an idea of how we might be able to offer you information and report on these KPIs and metrics. And so I thought that we should be giving general manager, assistant general manager, and board, if you want, some reports, maybe on a monthly basis, maybe on a quarterly basis, just letting you know how we're doing, how our call stats look, and what our revenue looks like, so that you kind of have just a basic idea of what performance looks like in that area. Sample reports, of course, you're looking at those. And then last, coming soon, we're implementing Tyler Encode, and the next big project, of course, will be the Senate Bill 998, and we are incorporating, we've already started to incorporate compliance into our implementation, so that'll save the district some time and money and some heartburn as well, doing that all in one shot. And of course, IT is really instrumental in that process. And that's it. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Our district service area encompasses 31 square miles. You mentioned the PACE centers, the satellite centers.
Yes, sir.
Does it pretty much cover the 31 square miles?
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And as a matter of fact, customers can actually pay at a CVS, 7-Eleven, or Family Dollar store if they're out of the state of California. So they can pay their bill at any of those stores anywhere they are.
And the other question I have has to do with the fees. Are we absorbing the fees, or do they pay a fee for that service?
Right now, we're absorbing those fees. My understanding is at some point we may implement a fee pass-through system where we are passing those fees through to the customer. Yeah.
Give that careful consideration because, you know, we don't want to overtax our customers.
Understood. Yes, sir.
No, it's a service that we provide for them. But anyway, a good comprehensive report. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other questions?
I guess not. Thank you. Great report.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Nadia.
All right. Next on the agenda, we have another presentation. That's Water Reliability Improvement Program.
This week it'll be Anthony. He's our water quality supervisor.
Hi, Anthony.
Good evening, President Taylor, Vice President Crowther.
How you doing? You might want to get a little closer to the mic.
Closer?
There.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah, a little taller. Huh? Oh my gosh, that's cool. Okay. So yes, I'll be giving the presentation on the Water Reliability Improvement Program update. So we currently have 6 ongoing well projects. The first well is well 7. The estimated cost of completion is $53,000. The completion date is projected to be August 2019. And the estimated production is gonna be around 2,000 gallons per minute. This will be serving zones 3 and 4. Then there's well 8A. Estimated cost is $141,000. Completion date July 2019. Water production is going to be around 2,500 gallons per minute, and that will also serve zones 3 and 4. Well 15, estimated cost is $80,000. Completion date will be hopefully this month, July 2019, and the production is going to be around 2,000 gallons per minute, and that's going to be for zone 3. And before I continue, we've been doing this every week, so I'm just kind of going to run through the numbers with you guys. You guys kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead, run through them.
Okay. Well 18A, the estimated cost is $212,000. The completion date's to be determined at least 6 months due to permitting through the Division of Drinking Water. Water production for that will be around 1,800 gallons per minute, and that will be serving zone two. Well 41, estimated cost of $139,000. The completion date will be September 2019, hopefully. The production will be around 2,000 gallons per minute, and that will be serving zone 2 as well. And then well 54, the estimated cost is $375,000. In your staff report, you'll see that I put down the completion date as being July, but the project's being delayed due to contractor. And the water production for that's gonna be around 750 gallons per minute. That'll be serving zone 6, so it's a very important well for us. And the good news, we have completed one well project, well 2. The total cost was around $40,176. It was completed in June. The water production is around 1,400 gallons per minute. This is providing water to zone 5. So the total project duration was 4 months. During June, it produced 50 million gallons of water. And based on single family usage for a month, that's enough to supply 3,400 single family homes. So it's a good producing well. And that's pretty much it. Any questions?
No, thank you for your report.
Of course.
Good report, thank you. All right, moving right along with the agenda. We're gonna go to public participation. I got a heck of a lot of cards up here, so we're gonna be a little while. They're in no order. However, I've got one that I'm gonna do first because it's for Steve Abbott, it looks like, but James is going to speak for Steve Abbott. Do I have a James here? James? All right, James, come on up. So I'm going to put these two cards together for you, Crystal. All right, I got to read something first. Hang on, I kind of slipped my mind. Too many cards. It blew me out of the water here. Are you going to pull it up for me? Somebody going to pull it up for me? I need the bigger font, Albert. This is just the rules so everybody knows. Public participation, any person wishing to speak to the Board of Directors on matters listed or not listed on the agenda within its jurisdiction is asked to complete a speaker card, which you guys did, and submit it to the district clerk. Each speaker is limited to 3 minutes. Under the State of California Brown Act, the Board of Directors is prohibited, that means us, from discussing or taking action on any item not on the posted agenda. Comments related to notice public hearings and business matters will be heard during the occurrence of the item. Everything clear?
Yes.
All right. You're on.
Well, I appreciate you guys' time. I know during her presentation, she talked to the customer service, she talked about integrity. So my question or my reason for being here is a recently hired or appointed person to the water district was a part of a previous water district in another city where there was $32 million that were granted to them through FEMA, where there was accusations of misappropriation and lost funds and things that weren't being accounted for. Where does the integrity come into play when you hire somebody like that onto here? Where does the trust from us as the residents come into play? If there's already accusations and there's issues with $32 million, where's the comfort from us that those aren't going to continue to happen? Where does the integrity step in? And the vetting of whoever these individuals are taken into more consideration. I mean, I know not everybody's perfect, but I mean, $32 million is a lot of money. It's a federal government grant. Where does it go? And there's no accounting for it? And then to have them then appointed here or given a job here, that raises a lot of red flags and questions.
Was that it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, James. All right. Next person I have up here, I don't know if it's you again, but it's James Charles. Oh, all right. Come on up, Mr. Charles.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, it is about Clifford Young. Clifford Young is a very bad man. He does not care about the employees of the district. He is very unethical and does illegal things. He fired Susan Cook because she blew the whistle on his illegal activities. He cost the district hundreds of thousands of dollars in settlement money and attorney's fees when he does these unethical and illegal things. He fired Matthew Lynchfield because he blew the whistle on him on a case that is still going on that is going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars more to these ratepayers. He has campaign victory parties and charges the ratepayers. He parties at country clubs and then charges the ratepayers. He charges the ratepayers for his own home printer and toner. He charges the ratepayers for conferences that he never attends. He lies in order to achieve his own personal gain. He uses the district as his own company to hire his friends. And I believe he should resign. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, James. Next, Linda Gonzalez. Linda, hi.
Good evening, board, and good evening, everybody. I'm a ratepayer of 29 years, a customer, and just like my family members and friends, and my four children actually graduated from Bloomington High School. One is a teacher, one is a business owner, my daughter is a dental assistant, and my son is studying to be a veterinarian. So I guess I consider myself a pretty good mom and a community leader. But I'm here because of all the recent articles, and I also served on this board, by the way. I served on the Bloomington MAC for 13 years. I've done a lot of community service. The first Latina woman for the Bloomington Women's Club in 100 years that organization existed. And I'm here because of the articles, but more than ever, I'm here because I heard Robert DeFoya, the attorney at the last board meeting. He brought out some facts. I'm running out of time, so I'm gonna fast forward. But I remember Robert DeFoya when we sat in that very back room on October 6th of 2016, you, I, Dr. Clifford Young, and David Olivas. And I mentioned at that time, to Clifford Young, you have to stop the harassment of the employees. You have to stop the hostile environment, and you have to stop threatening employees, especially administrators. When they don't do what you want, you threaten them with their job. Because 3 days prior, we were in an external affairs meeting, and he threatened me in front of all the administrators and employees and said, I'm gonna sue you for everything you have, and your husband, and your children, and your grandchildren, who at the time was only 5 years old. So that's his MO. He did that with the previous board, he's doing that with this board. But I don't see Greg Young here. Greg Young was his accomplice, because every time he did this, Greg Young seconded. And what he did is they lined themselves up with the board, they packed the board. There's an election coming this year, and I'm gonna go out there and tell the customers, but I have to work 24 hours a day. They packed the boards. Mr. Taylor, I have a lot of respect for you, but you were his friend too. He used us, and you know how we were used. With closing, this is a water district. Our business here is water, that's it. No public, no PowerPoint, or no get your ego out and let's see who I'm tied in and who I'm connected to and what I'm gonna do. But in the meantime, stop abusing. Stop abusing employees, stop abusing human beings, and stop firing women, because that's what you did, fire women, except for Don Allender. November of 17, you came up here and fired all the administrators, said, called it an external investigation, BS, bullshit. You fired them because Clifford told you to fire them. Thank you.
Well, that was exciting. Thank you, Linda. All right, Scott, is it Rodriguez? Oh, okay, come on up, Scott.
Good evening, members of the board. I was hoping Mr. Clifford Young, was here, and also Mr. Greg Young, and because I wrote something that's directed to them. Director Clifford Young, you should resign. You have illegally stolen from this district. You have fired people that told you to pay back the money you stole from the district. You have harassed and discriminated against employees. Your wrongful and allegations actions have cost the district over $1 million. How much did the district have to pay to settle the Cheney lawsuit she filed against you for harassment and discrimination? How much in attorney's fees did the district spend in that on that case? You had to pay attorneys to do an investigation, right? You actually voted to approve the Albright lawyers to do that investigation for you, right? And now you're suing Albright because you do not like that he is investigating you. What about the Mary Ritchie case? She sued you too, right, Mr. Clifford Young? And she said that you fired her because she caught you doing illegal acts again. This is ridiculous. When will it stop? Clifford Young, you should resign. You see it immediately, but not until after you apologize to the district, apologize to the clients, and apologize to anybody that was affected by it. This is ridiculous. When is it gonna stop? How can he live with himself? How do you sleep at night? You're a terrible man, you're a terrible man, and you should do the right thing and resign. And now you're filing lawsuits now you're filing lawsuits and making false allegations. Director Clifford Young, I heard that you had a fundraiser. I heard that Brad Neufeld donated over $1,000. He's your lawyer, right? Is that a bribe to get work from the district? Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Scott. All right, Mr. Griggs, you're up. Mr. Griggs, do you want to stay up after that and do for Hardy Brown?
Surely, love to.
Brown. All right, thank you.
Could I say a word before we're off the record?
Just yeah,
to
go
respond
ahead.
To some of your
everything's
speakers?
Everything's being recorded, though.
Okay,
so.
Well, before my time starts.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to comment your the ladies on cancer. Having my family been affected, I'm a very advocate supporter of the breast cancer. I lost three aunties, a grandmother, two great aunts, and three cousins, all to breast cancer. So I support that wholeheartedly, and if you that don't, spend a little money, a little time. It's very important, number one. Thank you for that. And another one real quickly, customer service. Just wanted to say that my background, that's what I'd done for years. I was with Edison for 10 years, of course. I had three offices under my command, and I trained the people in those offices. I had my business for 15 years in the malls, had three stores, trained my personnel. And also, I was with Nordstrom, and I worked under John Nordstrom was my main man. So I trained people also in customer service. So that's a point that I just wanted to make, that I understand customer service and how important it is. I'm done with that.
All right, you can start his time now.
Thank you. Okay. Now, my name, Don Griggs. I am the president of the West Valley Water Ratepayers Association. Let me begin by saying what I witnessed at the last board meeting. It was very surprising, while educational to say the least. I was appreciative of this extra time to express myself because the business of the people is serious business. I was surprised to hear legal counsel tell the inside scoop on his friend, Clifford Young, using ratepayers' money to print campaign material, and that the assistant board secretary was living with the board president. Boy, what a racket. Now, I don't know if you knew at the time that we were paying for his campaign, but now you know. He should be censored and be asked by you to resign from office before his wrongdoings will be attributed to you. You know the saying about rotten apple in the barrel? If it's not taken out, the good apples will become rotten. I have explained to the Attorney General's office the concerns of the ratepayers, and now you have the State Comptroller's office waiting to do an audit on the district. I told you earlier that you should invite them in, but according to the press release, they invited themselves in without your invitation. This is good for all of us in the public. We are now heading into another election cycle for three of you on the board, and only one of you has stood up for the ratepayers, as far as I'm concerned. Two of you have went along in order to get along, so I cannot wait to see what we'll send to my home, what you will send to my home of your accomplishments as directors. Do not get me wrong, I appreciate you changing the leadership from under Clifford and coming clean with your confession at the last meeting. You do deserve credit for that, because it has slowed the bleeding of legal costs, but not political hiring of friends. You must convince me that all of those political friends you now have on staff will not be involved in any way in your campaigns. I know they have constitutional rights, but you have compromised them by hiring them on staff. If we hear of them involved, I will file a complaint with the FPPC agency. So consider this, if any one of them gets involved, you know how campaign workers love to talk and spread gossip. So even if you are seen with them, people will tell us, and they will send us pictures. Clarence, you must give out clear instructions that people will be terminated if caught participating in any of their campaigns. Thank you. Mr. Brown? This is from the desk of Mr. Hardy Brown, publisher retired. I am sorry I missed the last board meeting to gather the physical expressions that went with your words I heard on the audio transmission. Anyway, it was nice to hear what all of you had to say about how you were misguided and deceived by your friend and bully leader, Dr. Clifford Young. I am sorry it took over a year to get this point, but it's better late than never. The ratepayers have had to underwrite this experiment of a dictator's personal greed with their hard-earned dollars that they did not deserve. Mr. Griggs tried to tell you how he was, but you would listen to his whispers of, we were lying, we're out to get him for old political actions by him. The good thing now is you have learned for yourself his way of playing a shell game with you. That brings me to the upcoming election, and where three of you will run for office in November. I want you to fully evaluate what you have done in the past 2 years that is deserving voters to return you to office. Two of you have openly and actively participated with Dr. Young in his desire to unjustly fire employees that has resulted in high legal costs that is not completed. What will you tell the voters? I'm happy to see that the state is going to come and conduct a comprehensive audit that will lay out and explain the inadvertent misuse of ratepayers' money by Dr. Young, as told by the district attorney. We will see if they see that way, because the ratepayers ratepayers say he belongs in jail and still pay the money back. Again, I am happy you decided to step up and tell the truth in public. I know this was not easy, because we see everyday national leaders who find it hard to admit they were wrong. Let us continue to do what is right for the customers of West Valley Water District and honor the oath you took to uphold our Constitution, so help you God. And I have a quote that I was doing some reading this weekend, and I just want to make a quote here that I read from Dr. Martin Luther King, one of the quotes. It says, "A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true." And another quote I read from an English philosopher, Sir Edmund Burke, who said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." I hope we have some good men up there on the board. Thank you.
Thank you both. All right, the next card I got, I'm not sure the writing of the last name. The first name is Malcolm, I believe. Oh, okay. Come on up, Malcolm. What's your last name?
Davis.
Oh, Davis. It looks like Pavo or it's the writing.
Good afternoon.
All right.
This is Clifford Young. Clifford Young, you're a bad director. You don't care about the district. You steal from the district. Sierra Lake's campaign victory party. You held a campaign victory party at Sierra Lake County Club. You signed off flyers saying from your campaign email account, it is said the following, and I quote, "Dr. Cliff Young wants to thank you for the hard work you provided in the campaign. Your work paid off in successful effort, so we want to celebrate job well done. This is not a district party. This is a campaign party for you. But you charge the district for your party at the country club. You charge the district $1,900 and you got reimbursed. That is illegal. That is wrong. You should not charge the rate players for your parties at the country club. What is wrong with you? You should resign, sir. Thank you."
Thank you. All right, hopefully on a happy note, June Hayes. You're the last one, June. Make us happy, will you?
Oh, I don't know if I'm making you happy or not, but actually, June Hayes, San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District, but this evening speaking as a utility commissioner for the city of Rialto. And I just wanted to invite your operators and some of the directors and any staff who are interested to the utility commission meeting next Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. at City Hall, 150 South Willow Avenue in Rialto. I had spoken last time about the new constituent in our water, PFAS. It has legs. It's moving fast toward regulation, faster than the science is moving. I don't know where the legs are coming from, but I was at a SOPA meeting last week, and a man from Orange County Water District, who is, I believe, on one of the state action committees, boards, whatever, gave a presentation on PFAS that I found fascinating. I asked him to speak at the Utility Commission, and he agreed to do so. And I would really encourage as many of you who are able to do so to make it to the meeting, learn about this constituent, learn about where it's going, what the feet are doing with it, what the regulations are doing, why they're doing what they're doing, and all the other latest information on it. Again, I don't know that that's good news, bad news, but it's news. Thank you.
Thank you, June. All right, we have no more cards for public participation. Do we have anybody else that wishes to speak? See no interest, I'm going to close public participation. Thank you. All right, moving on to the agenda. items of consideration, items 1 and 2. I'm going to make the motion that we approve items 1 and 2. Do I have a second?
I will second.
I have a second. Madam Secretary?
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Krauth?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. All right, I'm going to move to business matters. My motion is that we approve items 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And I'm going to pull items 3, 4, and 7. That is my motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Madam Secretary, take the vote.
Dr. Don Olinger?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Krauther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. Okay, I'm going to put items 3 and item 7 together for my discussion. I'm pulling those two items. I'd like to make the motion that we table items 3 and 7 to the meeting on July 18th next week. That is my motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Madam Secretary?
Dr. Don Olinger?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Krauther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. Okay, item number 4. I'd like to amend item number 4 on the dais. That is my motion. My amendment is as follows. I'm going to amend the authorization for transfer of funds form to include Greg Young and remove Lenita McCauley Bates. That is my motion. Okay.
Mr. President.
Keep me doing it right.
Point of information.
Yes, sir.
Are you talking about the authorization for transfer funds from the California State Treasurer's Office Local Agency Investment Fund?
Yes.
And there, the Lenita McCauley Bates is the second to last one there. You're replacing that with Greg Young?
Yes.
Okay. And title director. And is that the only amendment to the form?
The way I understand it, that is the only amendment to the form.
Thank you.
Is that, no, that is not the only amendment to the form. Could you step up to the dais, please? This is Misty Chang.
Good evening, members of the board and Mr. President. There's also a small little change. It should say agency's LAIF resolution number 2019-15.
Not 11. Can you show me where you're reading from?
The very top of the page. Agency LAIF resolution number 2019-15. It should be on the same form, authorization for transfer of funds.
And so, Mr. President, the amendment will be from 2019-11 to 2019-15. Correct, Ms. Chen?
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. No. With.
You including that in your motion, Mr. President?
I am including that in the motion. Did everybody get that? All right, everybody got it. I'm including that in the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Madam Secretary?
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Krauther?
Yes.
President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. All right, moving right along. All right. I'm going to go to legal counsel first. Legal counsel, you have anything to report out from closed session?
Mr. President, there was no final action taken in closed session, so there's no further report.
All right. And General Manager, I'll go with you next.
We're going to have a picture put up. And for everybody's information, this is a picture of the of Dr. Taylor, our president of our board, and Kyle Krauther, Director Kyle Krauther, and myself at the U.S. Conference of Mayors conference last week. We were invited there by the mayor of the city of Rialto. She attends these regularly. And the purpose of the U.S. Conference of Mayors is to have mayors from across the country come together and exert power in D.C. with the Congress and with the president to support projects around the country. And so we here in West Valley, for the benefit of the city and as well as our other service areas, have projects that we want to promote. And so the mayor thought that this was a great forum for us to go and promote the projects. So we went, we met a lot of very important people, and we spoke about our needs here in West Valley. And it was amazing the type of support that we we got. We made connections with the head of the Water Council for the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and he's personally committed to help us with ocean water desal for inland and disadvantaged communities, with groundwater replenishment projects, our Swift Basin project, and other projects that we've discussed with them. And so in the picture, you see Dr. Taylor addressing the group, and then a little later, I also addressed the group. And it was, what I can say, it was a very good conference, and I'm glad that we were invited. And I see good things coming to West Valley because of the clout. I need to mention Flint, Michigan. We all have heard about Flint, Michigan. That mayor was 2 months on the job when the emergency declaration occurred. She didn't know anything about what to do or how to do, and that city was not a member of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. But the U.S. Conference of Mayors flew in, brought staff, everything to support her, to help her through handling this water crisis. And as a result, the U.S. Conference of Mayors prevailed with the President and the Congress to get that city funding to solve their problem. And while we don't have that sort of an emergency, we can take advantage of that clout that they have. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you, Clarence. One of the things I got to say, too, is that this guy amazes me over here. I know that locally we go to a lot of conferences and stuff. Everybody walks up, they know Clarence. We're in Hawaii, for Christ's sakes, and they walk and they know Clarence. I go, God, everybody knows you. And it's always a positive knowing him. It's not something that's negative. It's like, wow, you know, I worked with him, or I worked in a district where we worked alongside with him, and it's a very good relationship, which really helped us cement a relationship over there with some of the people that we met that we're going to be working with. They also were so impressed with the program that Clarence has put together, they've invited us up to Napa, California to give a huge presentation up there to all the mayors at the conference in Napa, California, which is a big privilege. And we have graciously accepted, and we'll be in Napa, California. So if you guys want to go up there and see our presentation, I think you'll be impressed. It's a really nice presentation. Staff has worked hard putting it together. We're just working out some of the little rough edges on it right now, and I think people will be impressed. So, I just kind of jumped to our little session time here. It was a great meeting. Did you have something else, Clarence?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Logan reminded me there are a couple of things that I need to talk about.
Go for it.
Okay. Real fast, where is Joanne? Can you come up? As you know, we've had a couple of earthquakes here. Well, they were in Ridgecrest, but we felt them.
Oh, yeah, that's
here.
Right. I forgot about
and,
those.
So our staff responded, and Joanne is going to talk to you about that response.
So we have two earthquakes last week. After each earthquake, staff responded immediately and inspected all district facilities, all the reservoir sites, pump booster sites, headquarters, and also our distribution mains over 150 miles. So far, we haven't observed any issues.
All right, thank you.
And this is our standard protocol for after every single earthquake.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so this Monday, per general manager's request, we activated the EOC, Emergency Operations Center, at district headquarters to do an in-depth survey of our assets. And also, we also flow out a mock exercise to test staff's readiness.
Thank you.
So it was a success.
Just so you know, Clarence called a impromptu emergency meeting as though it was a real event, which there was really earthquakes, but there was something dastardly that had happened to maybe one of the well sites or several of them. And from what I understand, it went extremely well. Everybody responded. And I got to see some of the stuff that they had done and they had checked, and it went extremely well. I got to really pay kudos to the staff for all their hard work on that. So thank you, Clarence.
And one announcement we have to make, actually two announcements. We're sad to say that Lanita McCauley-Bates has given us her resignation. She's moving on to a job that's closer to home in the city of LA. And so this will be her last meeting with us. but I want to thank her for the great job. You stepped in without very much help at all. You knew what you were doing. We were trying to pull a budget together, and you and it wasn't just simply pulling the budget together. As you saw right fast, our revenues were down because of lower water sales, and so we had to put together an austerity budget. And you're kind of tough on staff, but I think they didn't mind it. They understood, and you put together a good budget for us. So thank you very much for doing that. Do you have anything to say?
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, President and directors. It's been a pleasure serving on this as an employee here. And I'm sorry, I've had a very, very long day today. But I want to tell you, it's been a great place to be. And I love the staff. And I think you have a wonderful staff and a wonderful board. And you're financially stable. I want to make sure that everyone knows that. The district is doing well. They have more funds in reserves than they've had in years. The reserves are very, very liquid. And I think that you should be very pleased with the staff. So thank you again.
Thank you, Lenita. I just want to.
Yeah. Could I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Don.
Yeah. Lenita, we have a lot in common. We're both from Indiana University. And thank you for being with us. I was hoping that you could be with us longer. Appreciate it.
Lenita, I want to add to what Don said. You did a lot of hard work with your staff. You know, just stepping in all of a sudden in a vacancy and, you know, trying to read the tea leaves and figure out where everything's going is very difficult. And anybody that's ever put a budget together, they know how difficult and how much hard work it is, especially to balance the budget and then try to create a little excess so you have something to play with down the road in case you have an emergency. So I just want to say kudos to you and your staff. And thank you so much for the hard work that you've done with us, and I wish you extremely well in your future endeavors and the place you're going next.
Thank you.
Now, in her place, Misty Chang, want to introduce you to Misty. You actually saw her a little earlier, but she's been our consultant since about October. The first task she had was to do a financial assessment of the district, of our operations, and now she's filling in to until we hire a CFO. Okay.
Yeah, just so what General Manager Clarence is explaining is that Misty is stepping in during the interim. We're in the process right now of interviewing and testing for a CFO, and hopefully we'll have one soon for permanent.
Interviews are actually next Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, we move fast. Okay. All right. Do any of the other directors have anything they would like to add?
I do not.
You don't? Okay, good. All right. Is there anything I'm missing, Clarence, before I close this out? Okay. All right. With that, everybody have a nice weekend, and thank you for attending. Meeting adjourned.